Meditation today is in Psalm 69. Please turn there with me. We see that this too is dedicated to the chief musician, set to the lilies, which is apparently a tune known in David's time. And had God seen fit to preserve it, it would be what we would, I'm sure, normally use to sing this to. But God did not, and so although that tune was appropriate for the people of God to use right at the time, it is not something required for us today. And we see also that the human writer is David. And so God moved David to write because, as all of Scripture, this is fully and truly the word of man, but fully and truly the word of God. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I've come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the accepted time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and their well-being a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their dwelling place be desolate. Let no one live in their tents. For they persecute the ones you have struck, and talk of the grief of those you have wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and you who seek God, your heart shall live. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise the prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. Also the descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Well, what a wonderful psalm. How full of Jesus this is. We don't know the occasion of David writing it, We just know that he did, and the Spirit moved him to do so. All his crying is accepted before God. All his pleading is heard by God. Why? Because he is looking to the one that is typified here, who is in the background, but very evidently here. And I'm meaning that he is accepted, David is, because he is looking through the Savior whom he's typifying. So much of this is speaking of the life of Jesus Christ. Some of it quite obviously and overtly so. When we look at verse 9, and we read, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, we see that quoted by the Apostle John as applying to him. The disciples remembered when he cleared the temple, and we see that in John chapter 2, that this is written. And so this prophecy, or these words, are a prophecy of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You can also see him spoken of on the cross in verses 19 through 21. He was publicly shamed there on the cross. You know my reproach, my shame and dishonor. My enemies are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none of the 12. One completely betrayed him. Another denied him. And all the rest but one fled and were not to be seen again until his resurrection. That one exception was John. There was no one to comfort him. We see literally on the cross, they gave him gall for his food and for his thirst. They gave him vinegar to drink. And so all this psalm is full of Jesus Christ, even as Jesus himself said near the end of Luke's gospel, chapter 24, verse 44, that the psalms speak of him. Now you'd think, with this being so obviously a psalm that speaks of Jesus Christ, that this would be one of a number that would be popular in all the evangelical church. But it is not. And why is that? Well, it's because of the words that we find in verses 22 through 28. And people have a hard time getting their heads around this cursing of the wicked. This cursing of the wicked by Jesus Christ. They will deny, in fact, that this is speaking of Jesus. This is some sub-Christian vengeance-seeking by David. Well, let's remember, first of all, this is not merely the word of David. This is the word of God. So this is nothing, quote, sub-Christian. This is not something unworthy of the Christian, and this is certainly not something beneath Jesus Christ. For we see these verses, being at least a portion of them, being quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 1, speaking of Judas. And a portion of Psalm 109 is as well. We also think of Jesus speaking of the cursing of the sheep and the goats. Well, of the goats anyway, in his parable of the sheep and the goats, in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. He curses them. He sends them into perdition. And, of course, that is the portion of all the willfully wicked, those who will not yield to him, those who will not serve him. They do not believe because they're not his sheep. They're goats. And so these words of cursing in verses 23 through 28. And sometimes the theologians call these imprecations. Look that up in your dictionary if you care to. And if you don't know how to spell it, text me later today and I'll fill you in. But this is not sub-Christian. This is not beneath what Christians should be singing. It is the word of God. It is the psalm, a psalm given by the Spirit of God. So it's perfectly fine, perfectly proper to be singing. All of this speaks of Jesus, but because of what Jesus is and what he has gone through, what he has done, it is relevant for David and it is relevant for you. Because, let's face it, the wicked hate God. They hate Him. You know, it's a joke about atheists that their two main principles seem to be, number one, there is no God, and number two, how I hate Him. Right? And so they do, but they can't touch Him, so they will try to go after you. And so here's a psalm that you can use when you are under persecution and difficulty, when you are enduring hatred from others because of your stand for Jesus, when they call you all sorts of wicked, horrible, and lying names, when they attribute all sorts of falsehood to you, or when you know of others who are going through this, you can pray this on their behalf. So let's sing this, and let us remember that as it is the Word of God, it is entirely proper what we sing. We will take from the opening portion, Psalm 69a,